You're listening to the Grace Church Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you biblical guidance to life's most important issues. We want to thank you for joining us for this week's message. We pray you find strength and encouragement as we learn from God's truth together. For more information, go to visitgracechurch.com.
Well, guys, I do want to welcome you here to Grace Church. Absolutely. I want to welcome you, whether you're at our Olathe campus at Prairie Creek Elementary, maybe you're in the auditorium or our sensory-friendly worship area, welcome. Maybe you're at our Overland Park campus right now in the venue, welcome, guys. Or in our sensory-friendly room here or in the auditorium, maybe you're online, as far away as, you know, Tuscany, Italy, like one of our staffers right now. We're so jealous. Welcome as well. Right now, while you're thinking about it, would you grab your device, grab your phone, grab your tablet, and fill out your household connect card right now while you're thinking about it, unless you've checked in at one of our check-in kiosks at our campuses. That's the best way. It goes right in our system. But let us know who in your household is here. Download the Visit Grace Church app, click on connect card, or go to visitgracechurch.com/live. Let us know your prayer request, who's here with you right now while you're thinking about it. Okay, guys, this is a family service, and we do this a couple times a year. We think it's really important to gather the whole family together a couple times a year. One is Christmas Eve, and one is the weekend after our 2 weeks of summer breakout. And so as a part of that, my family is going to be teaching together with me this weekend, and so I want to introduce them as well. This is my daughter, Karina Howie. She is going to be a junior at Blue Valley High School. And then my wife, Kathy Howie. We've been married for 23 years, though she says all the time, it feels like it's been forever, which is fantastic. And then there's my son, Buckethead, Jacob Howie. Jacob Howie is a robot, apparently. And that's actually built around our theme this week. Jacob Howie is going to be a freshman this next year at Oklahoma University. And we want to thank you, by the way. Our family just got back from our first ever international mission trip. It was upon my 20th anniversary of founding Grace and ministering for 20 years that you, Grace Church, graciously sent my family away on an international mission trip. We went to Israel, went to the Holy Land, and give you a quick report about what we did there for 10 days. This first photo is a picture of Tala and her mother. This Tala is a young girl that our Grace Kids Ministry has supported financially for years. Every month we invest in her education. She's actually reading letters that our Grace Kids wrote to her. And so she's a fantastic young girl. We're the first family to sit in her house with her and her mom. That's Tala in the West Bank. This next photo is Andrew Sifkin. We were in Jericho at a water bottling plant. Andrew Sifkin's one of our own. He's taking a 2-month business internship. He's sweating like crazy, 120-degree temperature, in a water bottling plant, doing each of the jobs, learning how do you do business in the majority world, in the West Bank, in Jericho. And then the third picture is a picture of us in the computer lab. There is a large cultural center there to invest in the community. There's a preschool in the building. There's also a youth center. We're in the computer lab with 2728 of the oldest out-of-date computers you ever saw in your life, and we are trying to update them from updates that were required since the computer was invented. And so, but there's all types of opportunities to serve. We actually saw other sites. You know, we saw where Jesus walked on water. We walked the streets of Jerusalem. We floated the Dead Sea, various things like that as well. If you want to join me on a trip to the Holy Land in November, I'm leading Grace Church, a team, in November, 10 days, the second, third week of November. You can join me. You can go to our website and check out that mission trip as well. You can join me in Israel. And so, if you have a Bible, join us in our key verse this week, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 is our key verse. Our ushers have Bibles. If you raise your hand, you get a hold of those. And we just finished 2 weeks of summer breakout. 2 weeks ago, 500 people were involved in Summer Breakout Junior. Last week, 900 people involved with Summer Breakout. Some 1,400 people were involved with this. 17 people were saved, 16 children, and one of our volunteers gave their life to Jesus Christ this past week. It was amazing. And we value highly investing in elementary age ministry. Why is that? Because the greatest percentage chance you ever have to receive Jesus is elementary school. That is the peak. When you hit middle school, the percentage drops. High school drops. College, a little bump up. Adulthood drops again. Your greatest chance ever to receive Jesus is when you're in elementary school. Which is why, as Jacob and Karina were growing up, my wife and I didn't ask them to vote on whether they're going to church. It was not whether they felt like it. This is what we do. We needed our church to partner with us in this process. And so, Kathy, why don't you take us into how this year's theme was chosen and the key verse this year?
Sure. So it takes about a full year of Grace Kids staff and many wonderful volunteers to plan out SBO. So about in the early fall, a group of people got together and just started praying. Like Tim said, we know we wanted to make sure we presented the gospel in a clear way for our kids, but what was that unique theme that we would wrap the gospel around? And after a lot of prayer and different things, we landed on that you're uniquely wired and wonderfully made. And so we knew that that would be our main theme, but then we also knew we wanted to make sure that our kids know our Grace's vision statement of being outward-focused followers of Jesus. So putting all three of those things together, Ephesians 2:10 is our theme verse. So kids, we want to get you ready to say it for your parents so they can hear how to do it. But
your parents need help, kids. Come on.
Takes all three parts of what we were trying to accomplish. Ephesians 2:10, we'll get on the screen.
All right, kids, help them.
Here you go. Got to do it loud for them like I heard you do it all week long. Ready? Ephesians 2:10. There you go, I hear you. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he's planned for us long ago.
Oh, your parents need more help than that, kids. I mean, I'm looking at your parents. God bless them. They are slow, let's be honest.
So the part about God's masterpiece, that's our unique wiring. Being created anew in Jesus, that's where we unpack the gospel. And then the good things he planned for us long ago, that's our purpose. We spent the whole week taking apart all that of the verse.
Yeah, so what we're going to do this weekend is we're going to take the 5 points Monday to Friday of Summer Breakout, which is essentially the gospel. Summer Breakout, every year, we share the gospel and what it means for salvation and life. And we paste a fun theme on it every single year. But it's the gospel. So you thought, here's the cool thing, God just outsmarted you. You thought you came for your grandchild. You thought you came for your child. Oh no, my friend, God has a gospel message for you. Because are you living the gospel? Are you sharing the gospel? Are you giving the gospel out? Like, that's what we're talking about this weekend. So I'm going to have my son Jacob pray for us, and we'll dive into the elements of the gospel. Jacob.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray as we recap this week and we try to get the gospel message across, that you get your words across. We would listen to you and you'd speak through us, and we pray everyone here would have open hearts and open minds as we dive into the gospel message. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so Monday, point one, is God designed me for himself. God designed me for himself. Now, many, many years ago in college, I was a human biology major, so this just naturally thrills me. I've always been interested in the way that our body works, the complexity of the cell, how our eyeball works and our skin. And kids, we learned cool, fun facts about in your lifetime, you will fill up not one, but two pools, swimming pools, full of your own spit. Isn't that cool? Yeah, kids, isn't that great? Or even better, you have more germs in your mouth than there are people in the world. So cool. See, that's why I love kids. They think it's cool. But David didn't even know all that biology, and he still praised God. In Psalm 139:14, thank you, he says. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. David looked at himself and his friends and he saw, wow, the Creator is amazing. How he made us and how he made us different from one another. And for sure, over the last 2 weeks in SBO, you just see these amazing, unique strengths, unique wiring of what people can do the DJ back there, or their singing, or the building, or the decorating, or just being friendly, these amazing, unique wiring that God used. And that's the second part of this verse, is that he didn't make us unique for just our own pleasure and for our own benefit. It says, God designed me for himself. And Jacob, I think you have more on that.
Yeah, but first let's have a bit of interactive part. It's everyone at all our venues. Go ahead and raise your hand. Who here likes math? Who likes math?
Yeah, I like math.
I love math. Everyone's hands back down. Who loves sports? Who loves sports?
Two hands for that one. That
he really loves sports.
Two hands.
You put your hands back down again. Who loves arts? Who loves the arts? Music, visual arts?
Okay.
That's great.
Okay, and, wait, no. Who loves cats? Because this is super important. Okay. All right, I see your hands.
Get your hands down.
Yes.
Get your hands
God
down. No
cats.
One loves cats.
I love cats.
You see, God made all of those things. All of those things.
Yeah.
God created all of us with those same giftings and likings for
created
his
acne.
Purpose. He has a purpose for all of those gifts. We've all been created. Our specific proportion of gifts is for a certain role he's designed for us. Only we are supposed to fill that job. That's what God is relying on us to do. That's where school stops. My school, at least, stops where it says, you have special gifts, and stops there. It doesn't go further where God wants us to go, to how do we use those gifts the way he wants us to, the way he designed us to for his kingdom. For example, this robot dances and makes noise. That's its job. Right. Its creator designed that robot to dance and make noise, and that's it. Just like us, our creator designed us to do whatever we like, whether it's math, sports, arts, or anything else. God designed us with that purpose to fulfill that role in his kingdom.
Yeah, and so I love this point so much because God says, Ephesians 2:10, each one of you sitting here, he says, you are a masterpiece. Yeah. And masterpieces aren't meant to be compared. He says, you are, in your unique wiring, you're a masterpiece. So the adventure of life is not only figuring out why did God wire me the way he did, but what is the purpose? He made me the way I am for a purpose, and it fits somehow in God's master plan. We've seen that, like I said, over SBO the last 2 weeks. I'm inspired by my mom. She's in her 80s, and she says every morning she wakes up expectantly going, how is God going to use me today? You wake up with that, God is going to use you. So I don't know, do you wake up going, oh, I've got so much on my plate, I have so much to do, I got to do this, or do you go, God, how have you wired me to use me in your plan today? And he wants to. That's why we're here. So God designed me for himself.
Point two is that I sinned and I broke. I sinned and I broke. We have a verse for that, Romans 3:23, if you would like to go there. Romans 3:23, which says, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Well, sinning, if you don't know, it's lying or cheating or stealing, breaking any of God's rules, even putting something else ahead of God. All of that is sin. I have a confession to make. I have sinned.
Amen.
My mom has sinned.
Oh, yes, many times.
My sister has sinned.
Oh, you have not seen sin till you saw her.
Let us not forget, though, my dad, he has sinned.
Okay, yes, I have, many times.
Amen.
Yes, I would have gotten the worst.
And you all have sinned. Everyone, everywhere has sinned because we cannot match up to God's perfection. He set a standard we can't match.
Yep.
Because of that, we are broken. Say this robot sins. It falls over. It is broken. It can't do its job anymore. It was designed to dance. It cannot dance from this position. It's kind of like us. When we sin, we are broken and can no longer do the job that God designed us to do. Sin, though, is more than just doing something wrong. It's also something else. Right, Karina?
Yes, that is. If you want to write down a verse, it's James 4:17, and it talks about how sin is not only doing something that you're not supposed to do, but also not doing something that you know you should do. For example, loving your enemy, that's something that you know you should do if you've been here a while. Or just, you know you should, but you don't do it, that's a sin. Same thing with forgiveness. If you know you should, especially that one person that you were thinking of, you just don't forgive them, that's a sin. That's the same as lying, cheating, and stealing. And also praying, worshiping, giving. If you know God's asking you to, you just don't, that's a sin. It's all the same.
As sinning breaks us either way, whether you're breaking one of God's commandments or not following with one of his commandments. Sin breaks us either way. So point two is I sinned and I broke.
Mm-hmm. Just like this robot has fallen down and can't get up on its own, we have a way to be fixed, but not on our own for sure. And it's point three, God sent Jesus to fix me. God sent Jesus to fix me.
That's the purpose of the cross, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lift us up.
So this robot, as I said, it can't get up on its own. And a verse for that, because we're like this robot, we can't get up on our own, is John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Now the first phrase, for this is how God loved the world, that's why we're fixed. God didn't just see us broken and in pieces and like, well, oh well, you're just kind of there. No, he loves us. He loves his masterpiece. He created us. He's like, I want to fix it. I want to help you. And he does that by the next part. He gave his one and only son. Jesus came down, died on a cross, and rose again 3 days later. He fixes us through that. And not only just knowing that, that alone doesn't fix us. We personally, everyone individually has to believe in him. The next part. So that everyone who believes in him. And what does believe in him mean? What does that entail?
Yeah, I tell you what, my belief adjusted when I had children. Happy Father's Day, I haven't said that yet to you guys who are fathers. But we've talked about Jacob and Karina. I can't fathom, if you're a parent, can you fathom someone who hates your guts? Hates your guts. Hates your children. But the only way to help the person who hates your guts and hates your children is let your daughter be tortured for them. Is let your son be tortured for them. But they hate your guts. They hate your child. See, that's what God did for us. We were the ones fallen and broken, and there's no way we could help ourselves. This robot's not getting up on its own. It's impossible. We could not get up on our own. And so we let his own child be tortured for us. Why was he being tortured? Our sins. Every sin you've ever committed or thought about, he put on Jesus on the cross, poured out his punishment on him for our behalf. Can you imagine that? There's no reason for that. If you're a parent, no reason. You can't imagine that until you read the very start of what Karina quoted, John 3:16. For God so loved you. God so loved you. God loves you. To the point he let his own child be tortured for you, because there's only one way out of sins. It's the sacrifice of Christ. Karina asked, how do you believe that? It's Romans 10, verse 9. If you do two things, you will be saved. Have you done these things? If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? It means you openly declare you don't run your life. Do you tell people you don't run your life? That's what it takes. Yeah, I stopped running my life at 19. That's the last, Jesus runs my life now. He's my Lord. He's my leader. I look to him for direction. Jesus runs my life. Have you done that? Is he in charge? Or is he not really Lord in your life? See, if you had openly declared Jesus as Lord and you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. Have you placed your faith in the fact that Jesus died on the cross and rose again? That the many cowardly apostles turned to courageous when they met the risen Jesus, when Christianity spread when it shouldn't have spread, because every conversion made your life horrible. Not like in the West. Hey, your conversion's great. Not back then. Lost business, lost relationships, lost everything to convert. And it spread. Why? Jesus was alive. They knew he was alive. If you declare Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You're fixed. That's when God reaches down. He pulls you up out of your sins. Forgiveness, past sins, present sins, future sins, sins you've not even committed yet are already forgiven. You're born in God's family, and no matter what you've done, you're never too bad. He never looks at you and says, well, you messed up. You're so messed up. I'll deal with these people who aren't as bad as you. That's never too bad. He paid for those sins too. He loves you. And we were talking about our own salvation stories. It's unique. We kind of reflect society in our salvation stories. Let's tell our stories real quickly. I'll start with Karina.
It was in the summer after an SBO, and my mom was cleaning up after some people might be doing when the services end. And I was with a friend, and we did the ABCs, which is when, in Grace Kids, we teach the ABCs of salvation, which is admit, believe, confess. And we prayed those, and so that's how we got saved.
Yeah, it was you and Nathan Gann on this Sunday, Clean Up Sunday. And they, by the way, they went off into a certain room, came out and double-checked.
Yeah, she ran out and said, so what's the C? And I'm like, what? What do you mean? C, the ocean? What? No, the A, B, C, confess. Okay, thanks, Mom. And ran back in. What was that?
And they got around. Saved in a room.
Oh, cool.
Without us.
I think it was the kindergarten room, actually.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
But for me, my parents didn't go to church. I went with my neighbors, and my Sunday school teacher was my neighbor. So I was in second grade, and she just plainly explained the gospel to me, and I realized, well, that's something I want. I want Jesus to lead my life, and I prayed and went back home and told my mom.
I was actually in third grade. It was also in this building. It was a Sunday school, and I was with my teacher, Roger Damewood. He asked me if I was ready to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I said, yes. So we went into a stairwell that actually leads right backstage with another student, Caleb Nelson, and first he had me lead myself through the ABCs, and then he had me lead Caleb through the ABCs.
Yes, both of our kids here. So, and by the way, so first, you should check out this thing, first grade, second grade, third grade, college. I mean, so we represent the percentage chance you have to receive Christ. The greatest chance you have is to have your children raised in church, exposed to the gospel with other people. And even here, we'd love to be there at this moment of salvation, but we needed help. And our kids received Christ without us in the room, with partners in the church, as a church partner, as we raised our kids with the gospel. So it was incredible. So I guess I was better late than never. I was, after my freshman year in Blue Springs, received Christ between my freshman and sophomore year. Here's my question for you. Our question for you, have you done this? Like, have you done this? What's your story? So you thought you were coming to a kid's service. This is so great to see some kids leading worship. Have the DJ rocking back there. Oh, that's so nice, the Howie's teaching together. You may not be saved. Seriously. And just because your grandmother told you you got saved or your Sunday school teacher told you that doesn't count. I'll talk, hey, have you received Christ? Well, my Sunday school teacher told me I did. So what? He's not checking with your Sunday school teacher in heaven. Not checking with your mom in heaven. He's going to say, did you receive Christ? Do you sense Jesus in you? There's a difference when you no longer run your life and you believe Jesus Christ as Lord. There's a difference. All right, that's number three. Number three, God sent Jesus to fix me. Lift me up.
Day four, point four, is Jesus fixes me to help others. Jesus fixes me to help others. Here we're going to do our main verse again. Kids are going to warm up again. Try to help the parents out this time a little more. Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10.
Help out your parents.
For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And here we're going to talk about the second half of that verse. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. See, this robot has been given a new life. It's been fixed. Now it can do the job it was designed to do. That's like us. We were broken. We couldn't do anything. And now we've been given a brand new life and a brand new purpose. That's to say, we're not supposed to just live like we were before. We're supposed to live more than just a perfect, happy, peaceful life. We're supposed to use our gifts to do the job and the role that God specifically made us for to do in his kingdom. And you have us more to that.
I do. So the point, Jesus fixes me to help others. If you stop for a minute in your thinking, you're listening right now, is that true of you? Can you think of a way that God is using your unique wiring to help someone else or another ministry or another people group? Whether you're inside the church or outside the church, both ways are good. Are you using your gifting, your unique wiring? There's a verse in 1 Peter 4:10, that's 1 Peter 4:10, that Peter's asking. He's saying, hey guys, you all have been given gifts, but make sure use them well to serve one another. He tells us too, God didn't give it to us for our own pleasure, for ourselves, but for one another. And this last 2 weeks, it was just amazing to see that. People that are crazy good at building, built these catapults outside. people, like, who would you think? Pinterest is a spiritual skill. Like, all these people that were on Pinterest used it, not for their own room and their own decorating, but look at what they did around the walls and the crafts that they created. People that are just friendly, that welcome you, that make you feel like, oh, this is a place I want to be. People that are out there with crazy organizational skills, they were using all of those in the last 2 weeks to help one another. I had a young lady, Jillian, who is in my going into fourth grade class that was telling me this story, and clearly she's got some creative writing abilities. And I said, Jillian, do you know Jesus fixes you to help others? Maybe someday you'll write our SBO. We want them to know, whether you're little or whether you're big and like my mom, God wants to use you to help others. And if you go, oh, I missed it, I missed SBO, well, I'm sorry for you because you missed a lot of fun. But we have a SOAR camp coming up and a middle school, high school camp coming up and a serve day coming up. And just every weekend, we as Grace Church want to help you use your gifts to help others. Jesus fixes me to help others.
Yeah, the great question for you is, I mean, seriously, have you received Jesus? God's given you the gifts. You say, well, I'm really good at this. Where did you think you got that? You got that from God. So are you a person who serves yourself, serves your family, serves me, myself, and I, my family, or are you using your gifts to serve other people for God? That's the question. So it leads to the fifth one. Here's our last day. Number five, God designed me to share Jesus. God designed me, Tim Howie, to open my mouth, my tongue, and share Jesus. God designed my family to share Jesus. Guess what? God designed you to open your mouth, share Jesus. When is the last time that you, with your mouth, with the breath God gave you, the mind God gave you, you uttered the name of Jesus to someone, anyone, not just if you stub your toe, but you're actually sharing Jesus with someone? When's the last time you did that? God made you to do that. You're not doing your wiring without it. By the way, picture in your mind, who in your world has not yet received him? Who's not yet received him? Do you realize you're supposed to pray for them and you should pray for their salvation? Realize you're supposed to shine your light, which is good works, absolutely. But unless you open your mouth, they cannot be saved. And Karina has a verse, four stages from your role to salvation that we need to know about today.
Okay, that verse is Romans 10:14, and it says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? That's a long chain sequence of events thing, but we've got flashcards to make it more clear. I'm going to read it again with the flashcards. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never even heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? You can see it starts with someone just speaking, sharing what they know about Jesus. Not even necessarily what they know, but what they've experienced. Like, this is how Jesus has changed me, and this is why I love Jesus. Can I share it with you?
Yeah, guys, I want you to picture your friends now. Picture who in your world do you actually care about that doesn't know Jesus? Who in the world do you legitimately care for? You care for them. They mean something to you. But they don't have Jesus yet. Let's see the role God has called you to make. Number five, God designed me to share Jesus. They have not yet prayed to receive Christ. They've not prayed and said, hey, I am no longer in charge of my life. I don't run my life anymore. That ended. They received Christ. I follow Jesus. I'm a follower now of Jesus Christ. I believe he died and rose again. Well, they haven't prayed that yet. Why haven't they prayed that? They don't believe it. They don't believe it yet. You got to believe it to pray it. Believe Jesus died and rose again. Why don't they believe it? They've not heard. It takes on average 14 encounters with the gospel for someone to receive Christ. A conversation, going to church, hearing a message over here, reading a pamphlet over here. 14 touches with the gospel. 14 church attendances or encounters, discussions. That's average. Your friend might be above average. Need 21 encounters with the gospel for them to actually believe it. But they don't hear it unless you open your mouth. This is the vital role you play. The verse Karina quoted was, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe it? They've never heard about him. How can your friend hear about him unless you tell them? Someone tells them. When is the last time you opened your mouth? You said you thought you were coming to a kid's service. Oh no, we're coming today. When are you going to open your mouth and tell someone about Jesus? See, I don't even know how to do that. Here's what you do. You ask your friend permission to tell your story. If they're your friend, they'll say yes. You say this, hey, I've never shared, hey, so-and-so, I realized I've never shared a really important part of my life, which is my relationship with God, with Jesus. Would it be okay if I share that with you? Listen how safe that is. You're not telling them they have to believe that. You're not imposing that. You're asking permission. If you have any relationship at all, you know what your friend's going to say? Well, sure. And by the way, you do this all the time. About food, restaurants, sports. You do this all the time. You just introduce Jesus into it. Have I told you about the new restaurant I love? The new movie I saw? The new clothes I like? You do it all the time. Insert Jesus. Hey, I'll tell you about what really means something to me. And you sit down and you tell them how you received Jesus and what he means to you today. That's it. You open your mouth so they hear, so they might believe, so they have a shot at calling on him for salvation. Let's go to these four things again and ask you where you're on this chart here. Because guess what? You have heard the gospel from multiple mouths, multiple stories, and you've heard it. It's been spoken, you've heard it. Are you ready to believe? Are you ready to believe Jesus? Because, you know, Jacob led himself to Christ before he led his friend to Christ in the stairwell. Which means he knew how to do it. He just never did it before. Which means he's like just like some of you. You know all the words, all the verses, all the stories. You just never surrender. You never say, okay, I surrender. I give up. I give up. I'm no longer in charge of my life. Have you done that? Are you ready to pray and receive Jesus as Savior? He loves you so much that he let his own child take your sins on him, be tortured and deliver you and set you free to be the person he made you to be that was broken because of sin. He loves you. Would you receive Christ wherever you're at right now? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you. We pray for people wherever they're at right now. If they know Jesus, help them to pray like crazy for those who don't. But if they don't know Jesus, or if they're not sure they've received Jesus, help them right now to pray with me to make sure, to surrender their life to Jesus, to pray in faith to you. Our heads are bowed, no one's looking around. If you would like to give your life to Christ, to receive him, would you pray this prayer with me and make it your own? If you're ready to give your life to Jesus, just pray this with me. Pray, dear Jesus, right in your head, right in your heart. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving your life for me. Right now, Jesus, I openly declare you are my Lord. I am no longer in charge of my life. You run my life, Jesus. And Jesus, I believe, pray this, I believe in my heart God raised you from the dead. I believe that. And would you save me? Would you forgive me of my sins? I did sin over and over and I broke myself and I need you to save me. Please, Lord, I call on you right now. No one's looking around. If you prayed that with me right now, that is the greatest decision, the greatest moment of your life. Sins forgiven, past, present, and future. Born into God's family, lifted up. A child of God can be who God made you to be. God loves you so much. Lord, I pray for those who gave their lives to Jesus. May they have boldness to share that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If you have questions or would like to contact us for prayer, please email us at info@ at visitgracechurch.com. For more information about our ministries, location, and service times, go to visitgracechurch.com.